The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You can also get it on Sirius XM Channel 80 and your smart speaker and wherever you get podcasts. And what does that even mean on the smart speaker? I don't even know what a smart speaker is, to tell you the truth. But apparently you can get it there. This is a must-win game in the NBA Finals. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Oh, is there a lot to get into today? Oh, there are rumors swirling around. And is baseball going to have to deal with COVID now? Shut down. What's going to happen? Damian Lillard, there's all kinds of stuff happening, but we got to start. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, we got to start with the finals. Now, there's a stat going around. We used it on First Take today. And it's one of the things that bothers me about stats. You know how people are inundated with stats now. And out of context, some of them are. Nate Silver of 538 has a book called something like The Signal and the Noise. The point is there's a lot of noise, meaning stats thrown at you. You can create stats. What's the signal? In other words, what stats actually tell you the story you need to hear? Valuable information. So the winner of Game 5 in the NBA Finals wins the title 72% of the time. Oh, you better win Game 5. Do you really need a stat to tell you that? Now think about it. In every Game 5 ever played, if it gets to a Game 5, it means there's no sweep. So you have two options in terms of the number of games. One, it's either a 3-1 series entering Game 5, in which case the winner of that game wins the series if that's the team up 3-1, and they've probably already demonstrated that they're the better team. They played four games and won three times, but okay, it's likelihood they're the better team. They're going to win. Or the other team, you know, comes back, it's now 3-2, and that team is unlikely to win it still because they're down in the series. Okay. The other option is it's tied 2-2. Well, if it's tied 2-2, of course the winner of Game 5 is much more likely to win the series. They're up 3-2. They only have to win one of the next two games. And by the way, if they didn't have home court coming in, they now have home court. And if they did have home court heading in to the series, it's all good. Yeah, they should win the majority of the time. Where exactly that number is, like 72% is not some surprising number. That's right around what, you know, a back of the envelope calculation would give you. Intuitively what you think. Yeah, give or take 3 out of 4 times they should win. Right? Something like that. 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4. What would be surprising and useful is if we found out actually only 52% of the time they win. Really? Wow, that's weird. Or 95% of the time they win. Damn, that's more than you'd expect. But the 72%'s right, of course, yeah. Especially when it's knotted 2-2, the team that goes up 3-2 is likely to win the series. Now, I believe that's going to be the Suns because they're at home. The home team has held serve. I think they're also the better team, although not if Chris Paul is seriously compromised. But I think Chris Paul, and we saw it in the last series, didn't start out so great after he came back from COVID, but wound up in Game 6 having maybe the best game of his storied career, right? So I do think that the roster is better, but they've had home court. In a really tough-looking series, the Suns, who were playing the best basketball when the finals arrived, and we're the healthiest team. Maybe that's not the case anymore with Saric missing and CP3, you know, ailing. But with home court, should win the series. Now, if they lose, is game six must, or sorry, if is it a must win for the Suns? Because if they lose, they can't win a game six? I don't know why people would think that. You know, I know Milwaukee has a raucous crowd, so does Phoenix. I guess if you include the Deer District in Milwaukee, it's kind of even more of a raucous scene. But I just saw the Phoenix Suns, just now, barely by the skin of their teeth, lose to Milwaukee at Milwaukee. And it took one of the greatest plays in the history of sports, in Giannis's block, combined with Chris Paul having an awful game. Now, you might say, well, Drew Holiday is still going to be playing defense on Chris Paul, and that is true. But considering what just happened in the previous series, where Chris Paul misses the first two games, comes back, doesn't look great, the team didn't look great with him, oh, the sky is falling, and then he had a game six for the ages. Do I think that the Suns... Game five is a damn good idea to win, not a must win for the Suns. And I don't mean must win as in, like, I know, like, John Ireland does this on Mason and Ireland and ESPN, ESPN LA, 710. He'll say, like, it's not must win because, and he'll get very literal about it. But that's not, John, what we mean when we say must win. Of course, mathematically, it's not must win. We understand that. But what we mean, the reason we call it must win, is because we're saying beyond just the fact that it's theoretically possible to win, we just don't see we don't see it happening. I could see, especially if the Bucks, you know, home court has been, you know, the home team has held serve. They've won it on their home floor. But if the Bucks show that they can win on the road, you're telling me the Suns couldn't? Now, Chris Paul's turnovers, is that something? Or is that nothing? Meaning, like, that's something he can correct. If he's ailing, if he's feeling the lingering effects, the haze, whatever, the fog of COVID, or something like that, and Drew Holiday is on him, like, ask Damian Lillard about Drew Holiday on a smaller guard. Drew Holiday is murder on smaller guards, and Chris Paul is a smaller guard. So that combined with some kind of, like, a physical ailment, yeah, that can be something that's going to be hard to overcome. But in these situations, the all-time greats usually figure out a way. I'm going to say in the next two games, at least one of them, Chris Paul's going to have a really good game and the Suns will win that game. I see this series heading to game seven, no matter who wins game five. Kendrick Perkins and Richard Jefferson, they co-hosted The Jump. We're talking about Chris Paul's struggles. Listen.
Perk, was this just a bad night, or are you getting concerned about Chris Paul in these finals?
No, I've been concerned since after game one for the simple fact that the Milwaukee Bucks made an adjustment, and that adjustment was Drew Holiday. And what happened is that he's picking them up 94 feet, and you can see the lack in production. Last night, these are uncharacteristic turnovers by CP3, but Drew Holiday is doing a good job of putting the pressure on him, wearing him down. Like, last night, I was very disappointed in CP3.
Yeah, Drew Holiday's bigger, stronger, more athletic, younger, you know, more tread on the tires. That's all real. But special players figure it out. And I'll, you know, again, like, look at very, very recent history. The Bucks took everything they had to beat the Suns at home. Don't tell me the Suns can't win at Milwaukee. And CP3 just struggled in the previous series and then turned it on. Don't tell me he can't do that again. Here's a question. Is Chris Middleton the most important player on Milwaukee? This is an argument my late great brother Sam and I used to have about Shaq and Kobe. Now, I was the big brother, so I took Shaq. He's a little brother. He took Kobe. And I remember one argument in particular where he's saying, like, Kobe's really should be the MVP of the finals. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, look at these numbers. Whenever he does some game like this, and it'd be some ridiculous Kobe game, they win. And I would point out the reason Shaq gets MVP every finals, whether or not he's the closer, is that when Kobe has that kind of game, they win. Shaq has that kind of game every game. Like, you can take it for granted. If Kobe had the same game as Shaq every game, they would never lose a game. In fact, one season it was like that. What was it, 2000? What was it, 2000 or 2001, where the Lakers lost one game and it was to the Sixers when Iverson was possessed, right? And it was only the one game throughout the playoffs. Oh. Giannis is now like Shaq, and he's compared to Shaq, and Shaq said, hey, he's the one who could take the Superman nickname. Giannis, throughout these playoffs, go back to game two, after game two of the Nets series. The previous game, the game that just occurred, is the only the second time in that whole string of games, 10-12 games, that he scored under 30 points, Giannis, and it was 26-14, 8 assists, three steals, two blocks, one of them one of the greatest plays ever, you know, in a win. That was, and then there was one other game, 25 points, nine boards, where he hyperextended his knee and had to come out of the game. Otherwise, he hasn't been under 30 points, usually with 13, 14 boards, 12, 13 boards. He's been unbelievable. You can, and he travels. He does it at home, on the road. He's been utterly consistent. Meaning, that's the Shaq, meaning his Kobe. And that's the role Middleton is here cast in. Has to come through. When Middleton has bad games like he had in game two, it's a waste of what Giannis is doing. Doesn't mean if Middleton has a big game, they automatically win. But that's the formula. That's how it works. You can rely on Giannis. He's going to be 30-plus points, better than the dozen boards. He's going to have a gang of assists, steals, blocks, the whole thing. And his play will keep you in the game. Will Middleton be able to put you over the top? I know Drew Holiday, I just talked about his defense on Chris Paul. That's big. He hasn't been hitting a lot of shots, but that's big. But I'm talking about offensively for the Bucks. Will Middleton take it on the road? Can he do what he just did last night on the road? Oh, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And that song means it's Michael Thompson. Father Knows Best on the Goodyear Hotline. What's up, Michael?
I'm frustrated sitting there watching game four the other night, and my boy from the Bahamas, DeAndre Ayton, takes nine shots. Nine shots. It's like the Suns won't learn. I know Booker had a big game, and Chris Paul's trying to do his thing, but they keep ignoring the big weapon they got in the middle. He's got to take more. He's got to put more interior pressure on Giannis and Brook Lopez. I know Giannis made that great block, one of the greatest blocks we've ever seen, but they got to continue to put that pressure on Giannis because they may pick up some fouls on him.
Now, what about the fact Stephen A's been stumping for Cam Johnson? Cam was the starter, but his defense, which is he's capable of playing good defense. He didn't do it earlier in the season. Jay Crowder got the nod instead. But Cam Johnson can shoot. He's athletic. He's capable of defending. Mikal Bridges, Michael, can shoot the lights out and can really defend. And he's not just a 3 and D guy. He's a 3 and D plus guy. They have other guys who can score, not to mention CP3 and Devin Booker. And you're saying feed Ayton.
Yeah, I mean, you could fall in love with that three-point shot. That's like saying if you had Shaq or David Robinson or any other, you know, center in the middle or Embiid, and you don't give them the ball in the paint. The Suns have weapons that could hurt you on the outside and inside, but they ignore the inside game too much.
One of the things I like, talking to Michael Thompson here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, one of the things I like about the Suns, Michael, is even when the Bucks win games, it feels to me like they have to grind harder for their points. Like the Suns, everyone's touching the ball. The ball's moving, and they get easier baskets than the Bucks. And the Bucks have to really work and grab rebounds and all this stuff in order to score. That tells me the Suns are a better team. Who do you think is the better team?
Yeah, the Suns are a better team. They're more balanced. They're quicker. They're more athletic. And they do find easier ways to score because they move the ball so well. And Chris Paul is such a good floor general. And like you said, they've got shooters spread out around the court. And they've got an inside presence to give you 25 or 30 points too. So, yes, top to bottom, they are a better team.
Now, you mentioned DeAndre Ayton. And I think one of the reasons I thought Phoenix would win. And by the way, Phoenix would have lost to the Lakers, except AD went down. Lakers were up 2-1. They're a better team. They would have lost to the Clippers if Kawhi would have played at all. They got lucky that the other teams were hurt. Same thing with the Bucks. Bucks were getting spanked by the Nets. They weren't even fully loaded, the Nets. And then another guy got hurt. And then Kyrie goes, okay, and it still went seven games, and they came one shot away from losing. Both teams are fortunate to be here in that respect. On the other hand, when I looked at the Suns, Michael, one of the reasons I like them in this series is the Bucks have a big three in name. People are saying, well, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and obviously Giannis. Middleton's made two All-Star teams in his whole career. Holiday's made one. When I look at the Suns, however, I see Chris Paul, perennial All-Star. I see Devin Booker, whether or not he makes a team, that dude is obviously at an All-Star level. Obviously, right? And then I saw the emergence of DeAndre Ayton this year. Michael, I thought on paper Chris Paul would help him, and I thought he was already pretty good. But what he's done in these playoffs against Anthony Davis, against Jokic, and now, you know, really Giannis, I think he's legitimately formed a big three with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree, but it seems like Monty Williams and the coaching staff have forgot about that. They forgot about the dominant DeAndre Woods in those previous series, and they're ignoring him in this series. Maybe they need to be reminded of that. Maybe they'll rediscover how potent he is in the paint tomorrow in Phoenix. And they need to tell DeAndre, listen, we need to put you. He's 22 years of age. He's from the Bahamas. He's loaded with conk and all kind of energy. He can play 44 minutes easily.
Hey, what is it about the Bahamas that makes you think he can play 44 minutes? Wait a minute, Michael.
Because, you know, he grew up down there swimming in the ocean and, and eating conch, C-O-N-C-H.
Yes.
We all know that conch is a very gives you a lot of virility, a lot of strength.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got that secret going for him. So
maybe I need to go
island,
live in the Bahamas
island
for a
boy.
While.
He's used to playing outside all day because we didn't have electricity growing up, so we had to be outside playing all day. So he's got that all-day strength.
Yes, I see. All-day strength without the electricity. You got to play all day. Maybe I need to move to the Bahamas for a while, Michael, because I lose energy. I get 17 cups of coffee. I lose energy by 2 o'clock. Let me ask you this. Yes, Michael?
Yeah. You know, Ponce de Leon was looking for the Fountain of Youth in Florida.
Yeah.
He missed it by 80 miles. It's in the Bahamas instead.
It's in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
What you have talking to Michael Thompson, Klay Thompson's dad. He had three sons, all played at the highest level of sports. Michael Thompson, for those of you who don't know, ESPN's very own, was the number one overall draft pick, was a 20-12 guy, and then got traded to the Lakers where he backed up Kareem and won two championships. Michael, so you have spent time as a centerpiece and a very successful one, and a backup and a very successful one. So you have insight into what I'm about to ask. Why is it that role players show up at home but not on the road normally? You've been both a centerpiece and a role player. What is it about the road that intimidates or otherwise changes role players? And I ask for a reason I'll follow up with. What is it in your experience, Michael?
From my experience, it's easier to be productive and play on the road because you don't have any distractions. You're in a hotel room all by yourself. You don't have family and friends around you bugging you and distracting you from the game, so it should be easier to perform higher level on the road.
Why isn't it? Most role players go away on the road.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because most guys feel more comfortable being at home in front of family and friends and in the familiar surroundings of their own home court. I can't speak for them, but for me, I thought I played better on the road because there's less distractions.
Interesting. Although you're different because you started out as a centerpiece nucleus player. You became a role player later in your career. Maybe that early experience changed the way you kind of dealt with it. Maybe. The reason I ask is because Chris Middleton, he's had some big performances on the road, but has been more dependable at home. And Michael, he scored 10 points in an eye blink late in the fourth quarter in game four. It helped them win the game. But in game two, they wasted a 40-plus performance by Giannis because Middleton didn't show up. What is it? Can Middleton find consistency? What do you see in Chris Middleton?
I see all-star potential for sure. He's a clutch player. The way he closed the game in game four from Milwaukee, made big basket after big basket. We know he's capable of doing that. He's done it in the past. And this is the best of three series now. And I think he's going to bring it. I think this is going to be a real tight series the rest of the way because I think Chris Middleton definitely had some going to game five built off confidence of what his performance in the fourth quarter. So look for him to have big games the rest of the way. I think all the stars from here on out are going to show up because they know it's a short series. So everybody's going to bring every ounce of energy they got, even more so.
Who wins game five? Who wins the series, Michael?
Well, I picked Phoenix, so I'm going to stick with Phoenix. I think they'll hold home court tomorrow. That place is going to be crazy tomorrow. It's going to feel like you're in Madison Square Garden. Those fans are going to be going so crazy. Milwaukee's fans are rabid and enthusiastic, so they'll go home and take care of business, and we'll get a classic game seven next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that, too. I don't know. I have a feeling Phoenix might close them out in six on the road. But we shall see. Michael, you know how all the time I'm like, hey, I got to get you on the boxing show. I'm serious. I want you on the boxing show next week. You down next week?
I will be in the Bahamas next week.
Oh, for crying out loud. I was going to have my producer.
I'm going
to
be out there spear fishing and watching the game seven from the Bahamas.
Having conch and all that stuff. And
conch. C-O-N-C-H.
Conch. Yeah, conch. Yeah, not conch. Right. Yeah, conch. And getting revitalized in the Bahamas. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's why 66 is the new 36 when I go home.
You're 66?
66 now, but I feel 36 every time I hit the Bahamas. And I smell that salt air and twinkle my toes in the Bahamian sand.
I think you're right about that, actually. If you're 66, I got to get a place in the Bahamas.
Yeah, you and Stephen A., come on down. You guys are popular down in the Bahamas. First Take is huge down there. People in the Bahamas, now that we have electricity, that's the first thing we do in the morning is watch you and Stephen A. And Molly.
That does it. I'm going to pitch that. What are you kidding? I'll spend a week in the Bahamas. The great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen, on Father, a segment I like to call Father Knows Best. Thank you, Michael. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. I'm going to tell you why making up with the team, that's not on Aaron Rodgers. The football offseason is always wild with all the trades and free agent signings and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN, Kellerman. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
It's the biggest season ever.
Tua said a lot of it is on him, but 2 new offensive coordinators are coming in there, so he now has a new system that he has to now learn before the start of the season. I'm going to be like, are you sure you don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The countdown to the NFL season continues. Monday starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Think the winner of Game 5 is going to take the series? I mean, you know. Obviously, the winner's going to have an advantage. They only have to win one of the next 2 games. They should be at least twice as likely as the other team to win the series. Especially if that team is Phoenix, because they have another home game. I think the Phoenix Suns, if they win at home, are likely to win the series. I think even if they lose at home, they still could potentially win the series. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Drew in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Let's go. Max, you screwed up. You got MT on the show, and you don't ask him who's winning tomorrow between Charlo and Castano. That's more important than the finals right now.
Is it really? You think so? Well, who do you think? Do you think Castano beats Charlo?
I think it's a 50-50 fight. If Charlo can handle that pressure, it's going to be close, but if Castano rushes in and Charlo can catch him, because Charlo's a better boxer.
I don't think it's a 50-50 fight.
Charlo's the only guy at PBC.
I think it's a 70-30 fight, and I think the Castano's best chance is if Charlo's overlooking him, he could out-hustle Charlo. But I think Charlo has more ways to win than Castano does. But at any rate, what else you got?
I think both players, Max, they play better once they get more experience, like with the dynasties. If you notice, like the Lakers, the Bulls, the Spurs. Yes, role players. When they have more experience, they play better. Like, look at the dynasties of role players. They play good on the road after sustained experience. Like, but a one,
you know,
and done.
What
but
people,
a one and done.
What people look at, when people have looked at this, what they've concluded is it is true that role players play worse on the road, but that it is true that everyone plays worse on the road. In other words, role players are no different than the stars. They play worse on the road. But, you know, star players, when they play worse on the road, usually are still pretty good. And role players, not as much. Which is why Middleton is confusing. He's supposed to be a star player, but he's something a little bit less than that. He's a sometime star player. He's made 2 all-star teams in his career. He's a bubble all-star type. He makes the all-star team. He's off the all-star team much more often through his career than he's made it. And he has characteristics of the, at least what conventional wisdom says, is the role player. He's murder at home. 10 points in an eye blink last night, or in game 4 in the fourth quarter. And then he'll shoot, you know, 30-something percent and score 15 points on the road. By the way, just 12 days to go until the Packers report for training camp. And no one seems to know whether Aaron Rodgers is actually going to show up. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter in the next hour But I want you to listen to what he said on Get Up.
Yeah, there has to be, I think, to get Aaron Rodgers in there, some sort of stipulation that makes it clear that the Packers will trade him after the season. I don't think he's going to take their word for it that they'll trade him, but if you put in a void clause, say the contract voids on March 1st, or that they have a huge bonus in there, a $50 million bonus due on March 5th, that forces the Packers to either release Aaron Rodgers before that void or big bonus hits, or to trade him. And that would be, I think, some sort of compromise that could entice Aaron Rodgers to come in. But I don't believe that's going to happen. And I also don't believe that Aaron Rodgers is long for Green Bay, whether they can figure this out this season or not.
I totally agree with Adam here. I mean, he's basing it also on stuff he hears. I'm just like, be rational about this. If Rodgers sticks to his guns, if he has the courage of his convictions, what can the Packers do? You're going to make him play for you? Or say, oh, you know, it's going to cost you all this money if you don't play. Okay, so he plays. Do you really think in a full contact sport like football, professional football, the NFL, the highest in the world, the highest league in the world, you really think that your quarterback can be less than all in and you can win a Super Bowl, right? Does anyone believe that? I don't. Maybe they do. I don't think they do. So if Rodgers, as I've said yesterday, Rodgers is the deciding one. They're going to have to change his mind. You're not going to be able to strong-arm him if he has guts. If Rodgers chickens out, that's on him. But if he has the guts to see this through, and if I was advising, I said it yesterday, I said it again, I said it on First Take today, but I said it on this show, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio yesterday, that if I'm advising Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst about the Rodgers situation, I'm going to hold a press conference. And I'm going to say, I'll have them say it together. Aaron Rodgers is our boss. He'll tell us what to do. We are sorry, sir. Yes, sir, we are sorry for misunderstanding the power dynamic and thinking we were your bosses. Sorry about that. You are the boss. We understand that now. Would you please consider staying? Please, pretty please. Got to take out his garbage. You know, do whatever you got to do to keep him. But it's going to involve swallowing your pride. Players are asked to do that all the time. Swallow your pride, Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst. Show humility. Show humility. It's only humiliating if you misunderstand who you are. If you think you're the boss, it's humiliating. If you realize Aaron Rodgers is the boss, it's simply showing humility. And that's what they need to do. Be humble. Aaron Rodgers was determined not to have his career dictated to him, the end of his career dictated to him, the way Brett Favre's was. And the way quarterbacks are valued now in the NFL, all the rules changes to favor the offense means that there are three quarterbacks, surely, who are the boss of their franchise. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady are the shot callers. If the franchises are smart, they'll do what they're told. That's what the Bucs have done. That's what the Chiefs have done. What they're told. Now, Mahomes is laid back about it. He has a great situation. Andy Reid is the coach and everything. Tom Brady in New England wasn't so happy. They're making him happy in Tampa. They won the Super Bowl. Green Bay hasn't gotten the memo. Russell Wilson's on the bubble. He's not in the last year or so has he been as good as the other guys. Even though over the last half dozen years, he's probably been the most valuable player in football if you take all those half dozen years. But his peak is not what the other guys are. At least, you know, he's a bubble kind of guy. Maybe he's a shot caller if he wants to be. Maybe. But Brady, Rodgers, and Mahomes, the sooner the Packers realize that, the better. At least they'd have a shot at changing his mind. And if not, they could work together to get the most value for him. But maybe they don't believe Rodgers has the guts to follow through. And if he doesn't, then he's not the boss. Can't be the boss without guts. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Coming up, a former really high Lakers draft pick about a return to the team. Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high. Do you want that life? Because there's demands for hundreds of thousands. There's demand, Not demands. Not plural, Raj. That would be ridiculous. There is demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. That's a career. That's not a job. That's a career. And My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Don't miss a minute of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio.
Justin Herbert. I don't see young quarterbacks that come in and take the NFL by storm as a rookie then fall off a cliff.
Yeah, that dude, he gonna be special.
Wake up with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Monday starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Let's say that again in English. The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night for Game 5 as the Suns host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. I'm having some day right now. This is the end of the week. Wiped out. Ran for a little coffee and ran into the bathroom and see, I got this little wire. IFB.
And to make matters worse,
on the back of my head.
Matters worse, you've lost your hearing midweek. You couldn't hear anything. B was saying your sight's going. You can't see any clocks in the room. There's three of them, and you can't see any. I mean, it's going to be a rough weekend for you, Max.
At any rate, so I walk in. The door closes on my IFB. It yanks it out of my thing. I try to put it on without unclipping it. I'm trying to put it on, feel around in the back. I finally put it on. Hit my sleeve against the door. A button pops off. Kind of, I tried to get this story out. It was going to be funny and charming, and Raj interrupted and broke the flow. Max Kellerman Show, as I said. Maybe I'll take a call real quick, Raj, just to show people I mean business. Kyle in South Carolina. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, Max. How's it going, man? You're the man.
Yes, yes. But you did say, how's it going? All right, we're going to keep Kyle around anyway. Go ahead, Kyle.
All right, man, I was going to talk about the 49ers and Tyson Fury, but Aaron Rodgers, man, I don't feel like he's that dude anymore, man. Is he really worth the trouble of through all this? What he showed in the playoffs, really, man, he struggled, man.
He's the reigning MVP. He threw almost 50 touchdowns against virtually no interceptions. And while he did, well, was it his struggle? The ball placement could have been a little better. Receivers were dropping passes. And then eventually, he outplayed Brady in the second half. And seemed to run out of time, and his coach also took the ball out of his hands. Rodgers, other than Mahomes and Brady, who's even on that level? So word on the street, everybody, is that Lonzo Ball ain't going to be offered a deal. And, Mark Stein reports that the Lakers, quote, covet one more difference-making playmaker who'd allow LeBron James and Anthony Davis to spend more time at power forward and center. And expect to hear of L.A. stretching for potential pathways, however obstacle-strewn they would be, end quote, to add Lonzo Ball. It's also worth noting that Shams Charina of The Athletic reported Tuesday that the Pelicans are unlikely to match a significant offer sheet for Lonzo in restricted free agency. I mean, Lonzo Ball, I don't understand why he's not valued more. I get that he's not a dynamic scorer. But if Lonzo Ball was a dynamic scorer, he would be like an MVP caliber player. Like, think of what team would Lonzo not work on? He's a large guard who can defend the perimeter. He plays team defense. He's a brilliant passer with eyes on the back of his head. He shoots the three. He's unselfish. He doesn't care about stats. He only really cares about winning. Like, who does that not work with exactly, Lonzo? He's additive to any team. And the Lakers would be adding a tremendous piece in Lonzo. It'd be one thing, if Lonzo didn't shoot it really well, then you could say, all right, but he's not super athletic and this, but he does shoot it well. He really does. And LeBron loves the guy. I mean, like, remember when they didn't make the playoffs LeBron's first year in L.A., yes, LeBron's injury played into that, but it was Lonzo's injury that sealed the deal. LeBron, you know, with Lonzo, at least he could work with it, you know. Why? Because game recognized game. Lonzo has a sky-high basketball IQ. No, I mean, even once upon a time, I get it. Hey, you need more shooting on the floor. The dude shoots almost 40% from three, and he takes a bunch of them. By the way, more word on the street. You've heard the rumors by now. I don't care if they're true or not. I like the idea that Damian Lillard would want to trade. That excites me. Look, half the reason, not quite half, but like not 10% either of the fun in sports is speculating about trades and hot stove stuff, right? Right or wrong? Trade speculation fuels a lot of this. It's like almost as fun as the games themselves. Not as fun, but almost as fun. Damian Lillard on the trade block, could you imagine? I proposed a trade the other day that a lot of people didn't like, but to me seems fair for both teams and would help both teams. Instead of like C.J. McCollum, the Sixers offer Ben Simmons and Thibel and Maxey and draft picks for Lillard. Think about that. Lillard on the Sixers, obviously pair him with Embiid. You still have Tobias Harris. You'd still have Seth Curry. Portland, well, you're giving up, you know, Lillard and you're not getting a superstar back. The only thing Simmons doesn't do is shoot. He doesn't shoot at all, and it's a problem. It must be worked on. But play five out with Simmons the way the Bucks built the team around Giannis and see what happens. And they would still have McCollum, who can really play and can really shoot. And they would still have Powell, and they would still have Covington. They'd have shooting. They'd have to do something about Nurkic and Cantor. Like, they'd have to do something about the bigs, maybe move some pieces to get a big that would play better in a system like that. But that one shouldn't be that hard. And in the meantime, you'd have Thibel and Simmons. Like, you could slow down some of those high-powered West Coast offenses. And Maxey has real offensive upside. Plus draft picks? I would do that if I were Portland, and I would also do it if I were the Sixers. Where would you like to see Damian Lillard playing? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Game 5, a must-win tomorrow?